This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to tonight's Parsha Share. So this is Parsha's Korach. Apologies again for the listeners in Eretz Yisrael. They are up to Parsha's Chukas this week. Please go to Torah Anytime and you'll see previous Shiurim on Parsha's Chukas. We here in Chutz Lars are doing Parsha's Korach this week. Next week, Emir Hashem will be doing Chukas and Bolok, and we'll be therefore catching up very quickly to Eretz Yisrael. So I've got three or four very, very interesting pieces on this week's Parsha, Parsha's Korach. The Parsha begins, of course, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi v'doson v'avirim b'nei Aliyov v'ein ben Peles b'nei Reuven. And the famous kasha that everyone asks is, Vayikach, what did he take? Vayikach Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kahas, the son of Levi, took. What did he take? And that is a question that Kimat all the Mefarshim struggle with. I came across a very interesting sefer called Igra Dekala, which is his better known as the Bnei Yisoscha. This is a pirush on Parsha, on Chumash. And he, if you look at the first box, if you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. Hakushim ufusemes malokach. The famous question is, what did Yisro take? Says the Bnei Yisoscha in Igra Demalka. V'yesh lema, al pi pshutoi. We can explain simply. Shelokach mekach ra la'atzmei. He took a bad deal. Yeah, this did not end happily for Yisro. So what did he take? He pulled the short straw. He pulled a bad deal. B'choshvei, now what was his mistake? B'choshvei in his thinking, shehu yachsen gadol. Yachsen means he's of great stock, great yichus, great genealogy. V'yesh lo zuchus aves, and he's got zuchus aves, zuchus from his parents, alkein, molu libul hiskeimim neged Moshe, and therefore he felt confident to stand up against Moshe, because look where he came from. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi, he came all the way back from Levi, who was of course the son of Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avram, etc. V'zeh shekos vayikach Korach, this is what it means. La'atzmo v'ledaito she ben Yitzhar. He took his own yichus, i.e. the fact that he was ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi, etc. However, what's notable, that the Pasuk stops at Levi. Why doesn't it go further? Why doesn't it go Ben Levi, Ben Yaakov? Shivloyama Ben Yaakov, it doesn't say that. She'ilu he'ele b'data shehu gamkein Ben Yaakov, because had he recognized that he was also a descendant of Yaakov, ozai hoya nizkar b'midas emes shehu midas Yaakov. What is the midah of Yaakov? The midah of Yaakov is emes, is truth. As it says, Yaakov titin emes de Yaakov in Michal. And when a person contemplates truth, who mayvin, he will understand shiflusai, the lowliness. V'oz lo hoye bolidei mekach rokazeh. It just needs a bit of a sprinkling of honesty, and that would have helped him back off. Ubazeh mashmi'enu ha-Torah, and there the Torah is telling us, shelo yismei cha'odom al-zuchus avos of liskois chas v'shalom. A person shouldn't become sort of rely on his ancestry and to become proud. Rak yoma im eina nili mili. A person's got to say, it's me, I've got to step up. Yichus only takes these a bunch of zeros, they'll say. Yeah, and you, the one, have got to put yourself at the beginning, then it becomes a big number. But otherwise, it's really just a bunch of zeros. Avram lo yitzles Yishmael. Avram didn't, it didn't help Yishmael. Yishmael had great yichus. Look who his father was, but it didn't help him. Yitzchok lo hitzlets Esav. The fact that Esav's father was like Yitzchok didn't help him at all. Avul b'hisyachsom aladuch navad avidosu yisbarach shemoi omer ben Yisrael. But later, when it says, and it's miyachas in Divrei Yom, I think, it says, ben Yisrael lo hayris, sheboboy odom lamed avidosu, when a person comes to be omed on the duchen, to do his avodat Hashem, who ha'emes lihisyachis ma'avos of k'mishu chosvazor. You need to then turn to the honesty. When it comes to avodas Hashem, you need that honesty. So that's his first interpretation. Oy, then he says a second one, also a very beautiful insight. Yesh lefarish, inen halakicha, tuhinei ha'yetzer hara. The yetzer hara is what took him. You know what, vayikach? Vayikach was the yetzer hara, because darko kol hayom liftei sa'odom, the way of the yetzer hara is that constantly throughout the day, the yetzer hara is trying to get us. Lasos averus ba'omru shezem mitzvah. And how does the yetzer hara get us? By saying that you know, this averus that you're doing is actually a mitzvah. It's very important. You want to get up, you know, you're sort of turning over in your bed in the morning, you don't want to get out of bed. It's very important you sleep another half an hour. Shachris, okay, you'll daven later. Not with a minyan, okay, you'll daven b'chidus. But it sort of frames it in the mitzvah. Sleeping is important. So the Yetzer sometimes takes averus and dresses them up in the form of mitzvahs. For hamaskel yispoin, and a wise person should contemplate alzeh, shehu misramis mitarmis hayetzer v'tach b'loisov. This is just one of the mechanisms of the Yetzer Hara. V'hinei hamachlekes hazeh hoya kafi hanira l'mitzvah. And this, therefore, it appeared to be a mitzvah. I'm only doing this because it's the right thing to do. I want to do the avoda. I want to bring karbonus. Now, how do you know if your actions are honest and you're doing it l'shem mitzvah, or it's actually an avera disguised in the form of a mitzvah? How do you know? Says the Bnei Yisoschen, beautiful guidance. V'hinei. Hasimen alzeh, I'm on the third line of the second paragraph. V'hinei hasimen alzeh hu, be'emes mitzvah im hu mistarmis ha-yetzeh, to know whether it's a mitzvah or just the way of the Yetzer Hara, hu k'she yavchin ha'odam ba'atzme, when a person is honest with himself. Im gidla tshukosei kol kach l'shar mitzvahs. This tshuka, this desire, this yearning I have for this particular thing, does it express itself in the same way when it comes to other things? So Korach was fighting over here, but am I as medakdik in other mitzvahs as I am with this particular one? So he was very keen to do the avodah, but are you particular in other areas as well? So that is always a very good litmus test. I don't want to get political in any way, but sometimes you have women who want to sort of put on talisim or tefillin, etc. And often it comes from a holy source. They have a tshuka, they have a desire to do mitzvahs. But what about their other performance of mitzvahs? Are they very medakdik in all aspects of their Jewish life? And that is the litmus test. That's what it's saying. If it's part of a wider avoda, then fine. I understand that. Then they're very particular. But that's the litmus test. The litmus test is, what is your general approach to all mitzvahs? If it's just this one, that's a bit of a warning sign that perhaps there's something non-altruistic about it. Ach, im roya she'ena mishteike kol kach l'sha mitzvahs, next paragraph, but if he sees he's not so yearning towards other mitzvahs, yovin la'ashur she ha'tshuka hazois she medame b'dayte la'osa inyan ha'nir silei, then he can sort of, that's a subtle hint, la'mitzvah me'meputu ha'yetze la'hapolos b'machmeres. This could be the Yetzirah sort of trapping him in some sort of a net by dressing up this thing, this avera, as a mitzvah. And then when a person looks at this with honesty, and he distances himself even from mitzvahs, because they look like mitzvahs but they're not, because there's some other non-altruistic pull towards it. And therefore, Ilu his yachis atzma, last paragraph, had he been misyachas korach v'dasu im Yaakov, had he just gone back that next generation to Yaakov, shem midasu emes, whose midah is emes, as we said earlier, kanal, also emesim midasu emes l'neged atzmoi, then he would have scrutinized his actions through the prism of honesty, v'hoye misboinein be'emes she'en kavnos l'mitzvah. Then he would have established that his desire to do this is not because of a mitzvah, rak l'shem kovod upnia, because through some other means, kovod, honor, and whatever it may be. V'zeu v'yikach korech ben Yitzchak. That's pshat v'yikach. She'lokach la'atzmoi rak ha'yichus ad Levi. He took his yichus. Till from where? Only up to Levi. V'shochach ikka ha'yichus shu Yaakov. And he forgot the ikka yichus. The ikka yichus is Yaakov Avinu. She'midosoi emes. And so too, the continuation of the pasuk, Dosn Avirim, they took their yichus only up to Ruven. They also forgot that they were Bnei Yaakov, i.e., they didn't take the midah, the magnifying glass of Emes, to analyze, to ascertain their actions. It appeared to them they were doing things as Shem Shemayim, etc., etc. They thought they were doing wonderful things. Kahuna, Avoda, Karbonus, Koteres. But had they, and the Torah is hinting, they took their Yichus, look who I am, but they only took it back to Levi. Had they taken it a little bit further to Yaakov, that references the point that it's Emes that would have been the magnifying glass, the prism through which they look, and that would have helped them sort of ascertain that their desire through this mitzvah is not pure, but there's something else driving it, whether it's covered or whatever it may be. Okay, so that's the B'nai Yisrael's very beautiful pshat on Vayikach Korach. Okay, let's carry on. This is a fascinating chasm sofa. So the pasuk says in the second box there on the page, paragraph 2, Vayishlach Moshe likra l'dosan v'laviram. Moshe Rabbeinu went out and he went to greet the dosan v'laviram b'nei Eliyahu v'yomru lo na'ale. And he tried, he made sort of overtures to make shalom, to make peace. And it didn't work. Dosan v'laviram, they countered strongly. Hama'at ki elison meretzovas cholav, and it gives them a few lines in the Torah. They speak very strongly to Moshe Rabbeinu. Is it not enough? You took us out. You wanted to take us up to the land of cholav udvash lahamiseinu b'midbar. You just kill us in the midbar here. Ki tistarei aleinu gam historia. You're lording yourself over us. Af loy el eretzovas cholav udvash lahamiseinu b'midbar. Tzitlon nachla sodek, etc., etc. Now, pasuk tezvav. Vayicha leMoshe ma'id. Moshe Rabbeinu gets very angry. Rashi says he got distressed about this. Vayomel Hashem, and he turns to Hashem, and he says, Al teifen el minchoson, don't turn to their offering. Lechamo echod mehem nososi. I didn't even take one donkey, velo hariosi es achad mehem. And I didn't even take one donkey. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu's response to this very strong kickback from Dosan v'Aviram? He says, first he gets angry. Vayomel Hashem, he doesn't talk to Dosan v'Aviram. That's interesting. He's not shouting back at his protagonists, but rather he turns to Hashem and he says, "Al tefen el minchosom, don't accept their mincha, i.e. the part of the Korban Sibur, which is their chelek, please don't accept that, they shouldn't get any grace and favor." And furthermore, he says, "Lo chamar echod mehem nososi," which means, even when I came back from Midyan and I was entitled to take a taxi on the firm's account, I could have bought that chamor on the Klal Yisrael's cheshbon, on their cheshbon, because I was coming to serve them as leader. Even that I didn't do. I paid from it from my own pocket. What's he referring to over here? So two pshatim I'd like to share with you. One is a chasm sofa and one is Rabbi Rechum. Says the chasm sofa, beautiful pshat. V'lo hari osi es echol mehem. Yochol farish, you can explain this as the chasm sofa. Yodua. The chasm sofa references a Gemara in Kiddushin. A very important person, when normally the way it works, when you go to a wedding, you go to a chuppah, the choson gives the kala something of value, right? He gives her the ring, or he gives a kesef kiddushin, whatever it is. And it's that is what affects the transaction, that affects the chalos, the actual kinyan. But says the Gemara in Kiddushin, Dav Zayin, the famous sugya of Adam Choshev. What does that mean? That she can actually give him the gift. Aye, the Hanah's got to be from him to her. Yeah, because if you give an Adam Choshev a gift, you feel good about it. You give a great Rosh Hashiva a pen to use, and he's using his pen. You see him a year later, and he's using the pen you gave him. You'll feel pretty impressed. You see, you go to the coronation, you give the king a new handkerchief. And you see him later wearing this handkerchief. Hey, that's the handkerchief. The fact that he received my gift, you get something from it. So says the Gemara over there, Adam Choshev Shemekabel Matona Meisha, an important person who receives a gift from a woman, Yuchul Lekachle Leisha, he can acquire, he can be koina that isha. They can affect kiddushin Bahai Hano Kovod Sheyeshlo Shumekabel Menah, through the Hano that she receives, that he's accepted my gift. And therefore, if you just extend that, im adam choshev nimna lekabel, if an adam choshev refuses that gift, who heredes kovod or biyish lenoisen, then you see the converse. No hanah going to the person who's giving it because he's received it. He's refused to receive it, and therefore you're actually embarrassing by turning him down. It's a biyush, he says, for the noisen, for the person trying to give it to him, and therefore. The Zeh Omar Moshe, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. Hagam shelo kibel shum dovar mehem. I didn't receive anything from you. And normally if I refuse a gift from you, you offered me your taxi, your donkey, and I refused it. But therefore, that's considered like an affront to your covet. But it's not true because lo hari osi bozeh le'echol mehem she'yisbay she'elahodos kovod alidezeh. But I did it in a way that I didn't upset you, I didn't offend you. And therefore, you now look back in the pasuk, that's what it's saying. Vayichal Moshe Ma'od, lo chamar echol mehem nososi. I didn't take one donkey from you. So I'm clean. That's the poshup shat. But here is saying, but we've got the concern now that I'm an Odom Choshev. And an Odom Choshev who refuses a gift, you're sort of, perhaps I can offend, says the pasuk, vlo hari oses echol mehem. But I didn't do it in a way that upset or offended any of you. That's the concern that he's addressing. Okay, that's the chasm sofa. Says Rabbi Yerucham. Rabbi Yerucham, of course, was the famous mashkiach in the Mei Yeshiva. I've met people who knew Rabbi Yerucham. My father was a big chassid of Rabbi Yerucham. He's got his svarim. I'm actually currently reading the biography of Rabbi Yerucham. Just fascinating. Please God, you'll hear more about it in the weeks to come as I get through it. But Rabbi Yerucham was one of the great Baalei Musar of the early 20th century. He was actually also the mashkiach in the Yeshiva of Radin. No, I don't think that's so well known, but at the time of the Chofetz Chaim in the early 1900s, he was the Mashkiach in Radin, not for a long time, and then he went from there to the Meir Yeshiva, where he was famously the Mashkiach for a long time. Says Rabbi Yerucham, and this I saw in the Sefer Talmei Oris, top page, Rabbi Yerucham Mimir Hoya Omar, Tzei Ulamad Ad Kama Chayev Odom Lahavik HaMaisa Mimaisa B'Kur HaMifchon. When a person introspects, he's got to look through his actions through a magnifying glass, very carefully. Hine, kushetano esom rishoyim, doson va'avirim. Just picture the scene. Doson va'avirim come up to you, and they make crazy allegations against you. Neged Moshe Rabbeinu, ki sistare aleinu gam hisrael. You're just lording it over us. You just, you know, just like being the leader over us, just for the honor that it gives you. Lo bitl Moshe Rabbeinu es hanosom. He doesn't turn back to Dosan Vaviram and counter it. He thinks about what they say. Maybe they're right. Maybe there's an element of me lording it over you. Only after thorough investigation, Omar, he says, I've thought about it. I didn't even take one donkey from you. I'm not doing this for my honor. For Amru Chazal, Kishalachti Verkafti as Ishti, when I went back to get my wife and the kids, Vesbonai ala Chamar, for Hoyle Ditlosa Chamar Mishalem, I should have put it on your expense. Lainotalti ala Mishali, I did it on my expense. Mashma Mikan, that implies, She'ilu Hoyolokeach Mehem Chamar Echot, had he taken one donkey, Kishalach Liftosom, when he went to redeem them, Kva Inonu Yodimoys Osmas Knosser Shal Moshe Rabbeinu Alatsmoy. Had he taken their donkey, maybe he would not have come to the same conclusion. Maybe he would have put his hands up and said, maybe you're right, maybe I do lord it over you. That's the degree to which Moshe Rabbeinu self-introspected about their accusation. The accusation of who? Dosan Aviram, troublemakers. Harishafilu Multanas Oisim Rishoyim, even against the argument of Rishoyim, Bochan Moshe Es Maisav, he introspected, analyzed his actions, Ad She'egiyah L'maskona She'ein Bohem Kol Po'ul Shashrar, until he established firmly that there was no ulterior motive going on over here. So two very interesting pshatim as to what exactly was Moshe Rabbeinu's response to Dosan Va'aviram, troublemakers who are making these allegations against Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chasam Sofa comes from a more lomdisha point, that he says that the Odom Choshev, and Odom Choshev in the Gemara in Kiddushin, when you accept the gift, that's actually giving something. And therefore, I didn't accept it. And that could cause offense. But I didn't cause you offense. I didn't accept your gift, but yet, lo hariosias echod mehem. That's the Chasam Sofa. And Rabbi Yerucham, just that amazing point, that he really thought about what they said. You or I would just disregard it. At least I would. Because these are troublemakers. But he analyzed it, thought it through. Fascinating insight. Okay, let's just finish off with one further idea. The parasha carries on. Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'hoya, ha'ish asher evcha bo, Mateo Yifrach. Now, do you remember the story? We've been through, I mean, it's actually quite remarkable. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron have quashed the rebellion. So Korach and 250 men try to challenge his leadership, and the ground opens up, swallows up Korach. There's plagues, and Moshe Rabbeinu stops the plague. And you'd have thought by now that, you know, the message is clear. Like, enough already. But it's not. because there's now a second attempt to prove, if you like, that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron are the genuine leaders of Klal Yisrael. What happens? It's the test of the staffs of the Matos. And the Pasuk says in the Zion Perek Pasuk Chof, V'hoyo ha'ish asher ev chaboy, paragraph 3, first box, V'hoyo ha'ish asher ev chaboy mateo yifrach, says Hashem, the person who I genuinely chose, his staff will sprout, will flower. V'hashikos me'olayes t'lunos b'nei Yisrael, and I will turn away myself from the complaints of Klal Yisrael, t'lunos b'nei Yisrael, shehim alinim aleichem, which they are complaining against you. Now, I came across, I've got a lovely sefer called the Sitcha Elyon, which gives sort of Musa insights to the parasha. And he quotes Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein. Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein was the famous mashgiach. He took over from Rabbi Ruchem in the Mir. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Ruchem. And he took over and became the mashgiach in the Mir, traveled with them through Shanghai and the whole story of the Second World War. And then after the war, he went to became the mashgiach in Ponovich. He was one of the great Bali Musa of the 20th century. So he quotes him, Pelegon. Why do you need another test? I mean, the ground opened up. Moshe Rabbeinu then stopped the plague. You know, enough already. Surely the message was clear. Why do they need another test? A moifes, a sign, shall prichas hamateh, about the flowering of a staff, kadei lochiach shehakuhuna shayeches la'aron, to prove that the kuhuna was indeed due to Aaron HaKohen. Everyone saw the unbelievable punishment of Korach for Adosai. Why do you need further riyas for these staffs? Elo, Bia Hagon of Tzadik Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein. The Tzadik Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein explains. Mashkiach Yeshivas Ponovich. Kan onu lemeidim es neiros koich nafshe shaladim. You see from here the remarkable power of the human soul. Despite seeing categorical, unequivocal signs, it's very hard to move, to shift deep entrenched viewpoints. That's life. A person can be so convinced of a certain ideology, a certain viewpoint, a certain position he's taking, it's almost impossible to shift a person. And therefore, the accusations are cast against Moshe Rabbeinu, and you're not prepared to listen even. And therefore, I can see the ground open up and swallow Korach. I can see a Magefa destroy all his followers. And I can see Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who quells it and quashes it. But I'm still not convinced, because that is the power of the human mind. You know, the classic example that he gives is with Amalek. Klal Yisrael come out of Mitzrayim, they're invincibles. You know, they've just destroyed, they've brought the whole nation, the superpower of the day, to its knees, and Amalek crazily starts up. The Rashi over there gives the moshel, the famous moshel of the bath. The one Blial throws himself into a boiling hot bath, he gets burns, but he cools it down for the next guy. So says the bottom paragraph, Harilonu, based on this moshel, Shekulam Roev Shamalek Nichvekulei. So what do you mean it cools it down for the next guy? You saw the guy get burnt. You saw Amalek get destroyed. B'chol oifen teva ha'odom sheyochel lishoy mashpos hakfitza b'li lisboinin v'litzarev l'kach kamata shenichve. Yeah, but I've seen the guy jump in the bath. Okay, he burned himself. But it doesn't mean that I can't go in there now. I mean, why don't you just make the connection? That is what's called in psychology cognitive dissonance. You just, you know, you just disbelieve. You cut off. You don't make that connection. This, says Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein, is a very important point when it comes to introspection about the koich of a person's nefesh. That the person's environment is so strong that it's very hard to dislodge a certain viewpoint. You can sometimes see something is just nonsense. Just nonsense. Mikol mokum ze mashpia. Right, you know, the news at the moment is talking about self-identification. Right, so now the story in some schools, you can self. There was one kid who self-identified as a cat. Right? I identify as a cat. I'm not a human being. I'm not a boy. I'm not a girl. I'm a cat. So the teacher tried to, I don't know exactly the details, but tried to explain to him that you're a young boy, you're a young girl, whatever it was, and the teacher's in trouble now. If I want to identify as an elephant or as a cat, or, you know, then so be it. So you know, we're living in funny times. We've got to be very careful about the environment we're living in. Let me just give you a story to finish with. The Rabbi Chatzkel Levinson is the one who tells this mice, who says this vod with Korach. Why is it you need another test? I must speak already. The Teretz is, someone can be so entrenched in their viewpoints, you can see a million things, but it doesn't shift anything. So there's a famous story of the Rabbi Chatzkel himself. One time, he gets in a taxi in Israel, Bnei Brak. And the taxi driver is a non-religious, secular Israeli. And he sees the Rav in the back of his car and he says, Rebbe, I want to tell you a story. Tells me Nivrit. So he says, I want to tell you an unbelievable story. After I finished the army, I went on a tour around the world. One time I found myself, I was in South America, in Africa somewhere, and we were camping, a few of us, after we'd finished the army. None of us religious Jews. And all of a sudden there were screams from my friend's tent, middle of the night. A boa constrictor had got into the tent and had wrapped around my friend's neck. And he was squeezing and squeezing him, and the guy was turning blue, and we thought this was it. It's all over. And we didn't know what to do. And suddenly one of my friends screamed to him. He says, Yoram. He says, say Shema. Now, that much they knew. They knew that saying Shema, they remembered that. And he said Shema. And as soon as he said Shema, the snake just unwound itself and just slid away. And he said, my friend became religious because of this, and he's married with a from family and children, etc., etc. So Chatzkel said to him, and what about you? You saw the event as well. What about you? So the guy says, no, it happened to him. That is cognitive dissonance. You see the same thing. Okay, it didn't happen to you, but you saw it. Why, says Chesed Levinstein, is it that Klal Yisrael have seen so many signs already? They've seen this guy rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu. They've seen the ground open up. They've seen the plague. They've seen everything. Moshe Rabbeinu is quelling the plague. And now you still need another test with the staff, that Moshe and Aaron, that their staff sprouts and it shows that Aaron is the Kohen Gadol. Because sometimes it takes a lot to really shift to very entrenched, deep views. Astonishing. Yeah.
Then what would make the second time more effective if there is so?
You got to keep on going. You got to keep on going. When did you stop? What would have happened if they wouldn't have taken this? And maybe they would have to do another test. But this one, seemingly, they took. But the point is, sometimes it takes a second, a third, a fourth. You can't give up. Okay, so there we have it. So tonight's shir, three things we spoke about. First of all, Vayikach Korach, what is the Malokach? So that's the famous kasha everyone speaks about. So two pshatim of the Bnei Yisoscha, relating that to the first one, he took his yichus. And it stopped too short. It stopped at Ben Levi. Had he analyzed it and gone back to Yaakov with a middah of emes, then he would have he wouldn't have taken the mekachra al atzmai. And the second idea, Yesh Tafarish, that sometimes the Yetzer Hara wraps up a certain pull for a person in the form of a mitzvah. I'm doing something so important. I'm going to do Keteris. I'm going to do Karbonis. I'm going to do Kuna Gedela, and it's sort of dressed up in the guise of a mitzvah. But a person needs the magnifying glass of MS to really ascertain, is this L'Shem Shemayim, or is it just because I've got, I'm jealous of the guy, honor, whatever it may be. And that's why it stops at Yaakov. So Vayikach es Yichus Sheloi, only that far. Yeah, but the second one would be as well. He took his Yichus, but it's a similar sort of idea, that he's taking his Yichus that far. Had he taken the middah of MS, that would have shown that this is not an Avera guy is dressed up in the form of a mitzvah. So he took his yichus only up to the Levi and not with the middle of MS that Yaakov represented. And then the second idea, well, what is Pshat that he says, that I didn't even take one donkey, Velohari Oses, Echel Mehem, what's the connection? So the Chasm Sofer says, because Adam Choshev, I didn't take one thing, so maybe I've caused you upset. No, I didn't cause you any upset. Velohari Oses, Echel Mehem. That's the Chasm Sofer's take. And then in Biruchim, that just the astonishing observation, that actually he listened to the complaint of protagonists who were Rishayim. You know, most of us would just dismiss it, but he actually thought about it and really introspected. And then he said, you know, I didn't take a donkey from anybody. This is all L'Shem Shemayim. But had he taken a donkey, maybe we would have come to a different conclusion, says Rabbi Rucham. And then cognitive dissonance, why we needed so many tests, because sometimes you need to keep at it when you're trying to dislodge entrenched viewpoints. Okay, we'll leave it there.
Is that a lesson?
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.